What is going on? This is the Crew 3 Podcast. What's up with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Chris and Rick. Gentlemen, say hello.
Hey.
What up?
Now, listeners, I'm going to get ahead of this before Chris even starts. Do not listen to anything this man is about to say.
That's right.
He is a fraud. He is a shyster.
That's true.
He handed us a napkin, said Karevik the Punisher, with nothing explained about it, and just thought we would know. And honestly, it looked like the writings of a madman, and I can't be held responsible or accountable whatever Chris is about to say.
Never question the napkin math, okay? When I feel the copious amounts of Halo, we'll call it,
hitting
the bloodstream, and the brain power starts going, you know, I've got 20 minutes of brain power on me per week, Ruckman. You know, you're a best friend of mine.
Per week is generous.
Per week is generous. You know, so when it starts flowing, you got to start listening. You got to start smelling the salts with me. Start learning to interpret. Okay.
Yeah. Chris has got a dream journal. He wakes up. He wakes up in a cold sweat. Writes it out.
When I make a top five, and you start going, man, I'm not so sure, but you see it on the napkin math. You got to listen. You know, we've got Karevik on there. We've got Slickshot number one. We all know that Slickshot's number one right now. It's coming. And beyond that, when there's three of us making a top five, okay, normally speaking, when three people make a top five, you've got a 33 1/3% chance of being the best list. But I'm a genetic freak, okay? Which means I've got 66 2/3% chance of having the best list. And Ricky, he can't even compete with my list. He just shows up and says whatever. So that means he's totally out of the mix, right? So then it's me and you, Ruckman, and you got to subtract Ricky's 33 1/3% chance from your 40% chance. That leaves you with 7% only, right? So No matter how you do the math,
the numbers don't lie.
You know what I'm saying? They were coming up all Chris on that top 10 list. So if you guys haven't listened to hear what we're talking about, go listen to that top 10 list.
Speaking of the math skills of the Texas public education system,
yes.
The reason why Karevik is so good is I saw two different people at an RCQ that we went to. Both of them cast their Karevik on turn four and then fatal pushed their opponent's creature and then immediately free thought seized their opponent or attempted to.
Right, attempted to.
Yeah. And yeah, when you play the card like that, it seems really, really good.
It does seem insane if your opponents can't read, that's for sure, yeah. I did play against the...
Informed, they had to pay for the spells they were getting.
Right.
They became... You could see the disgust in their eyes, you know?
Ricky corrected my play at the end of a thing because I had made a couple mistakes in my round one, but I tried to explain to my opponent four times how Karevik worked. And the only thing that got right there was that it was a creature. That's the only thing that got right about that card was that it was a 3/3 creature. The other words on that might as well have been in Japanese because they had no idea. Like, if you target the thing, you exile it. It doesn't say like, oh, target a thing, you may exile it. Right, yeah. Like it says, if you you can target up to one thing, but if you target something, it is exiled. Mm-hmm. And trying to explain that to my opponent where they like put a card on top of it going, I'm going to cast this one. And I was like, okay, so you're going to exile that? And they were like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And I was like, okay, well, you can't cast it. And they were like, oh, well, then if you're going to do that, then I'm not doing this. I was like, well, you have to choose. So like, I was like, okay, you're new. You know what I'm saying? We'll let it take backsies. And then later tried the same thing. Like, and I was like, we've already been over this. I've already explained to you that this is a thing. And then finally they were like, oh, it's not free? And I was like, yes, and you're still wrong on how the whole card works. So it was a fun first round there at the old.
What we're finding out, like the reason why Karevik, and we'll get more into this obviously as we talk about the decks from the show, from the challenges this week. The reason why Karevik acts like it's going to be actually impactful is the fact that it ignores timing, right? So right next to Chris's napkin notes of Karevik being good, he forgot to also include the napkin that explains the plot of how Primer's time travel works. Because I've watched the movie several times and I still have to like look at the graph and chart and somewhere the problem is I pick up the Primer explanation, then I also pick up the what's the Christopher Nolan inversion movie or whatever that also is like that we were going forwards and backwards in time at the same time with reverse time travel bullets and things like that.
What about Looper, where time travel is okay as long as Bruce Willis is there?
Well, yeah, that makes sense, right?
I'll that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just supposed to go to China.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, so Chris, I mean, look, I get it. When Big Papa Pump Chris comes to town,
that's right.
The Hoochies come around. Like, we get
that's
it. You know?
We know that's how it goes. We know that's how it goes. Yeah. Well, what anything else we want to go over before RCQs?
I don't think there's anything. Talk about
the value of this set?
It's not insane. That good.
What?
Yeah.
There's like, I'm enjoying the value of this set. I think it's kind of wild. I think like Tiny Bones is like almost $30 now. There's like, there's like a big store card that's like.
There are mythics that are pretty that are worth it. Like some of the showcase, specifically the Simulacrum card is like the showcase version of Simulacrum, whatever, is like a $90 mythic. The regular version is like $40. Yeah. The showcase version of Vault Tyrant, which I have a little copy of right here, is going for about 50-60 bucks right now.
Nice.
So. It is still very big hits on mythics. I'm not quite sure what a lot of the rare values are in this set, right? But the mythics are obviously good hits. So here's an idea. Here's a shower thought I had today, right? And something that I think would have been sweet for this set. So you remember with Theros, we had the God Packs, right? So here's my idea that I think we could have done for this set. One in every like 500 packs or whatever the God Pack rare odds were, right? Give me a real big score pack that is just
big score,
just big score card.
That would be cool.
That would have been such a good idea, right?
I mean, yeah. I know that it's a little, it's Card Kingdom, and Card Kingdom is Card Kingdom, right? But like, just on Card Kingdom, like we have like several rares and mythics that are like well over $15.
Yeah,
several is like five, though, right?
Oh, we've got like, let's see, we got Tiny Bones, Jace. Terror, Slickshot, Gold Vein Hydra, Bristly Bill, Final Showdown, Geese of the Hellraisers, all, 13.
How many of those are rare, though? Those are all mythics. Well, Geese is a rare, right?
Slickshot's a rare.
Slickshot's the only rare. It's seven cards that are above $15.
Souchro's a $10 rare.
Five, six, seven cards on MTG Goldfish sell for more than $14. And then one, two, three, four,
that's
five,
just
six
one
of those seven
set.
Are mythics.
That's not the big score.
That's just true. One set.
That's one set of the three sets.
This is three sets.
This is true. That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
And like, honestly, if anything, like the rest of the cards, the reprints have become super affordable. Have you checked the price on Indomitable Creativity?
Oh, it's in the dirt.
Dose.
Yeah.
Leila's down to what, like $2 as well? Like two
Thought
five.
Seizes, like I think they're seven in the cowboy frame.
Which is great. I wanted to set a cowboy ones,
yeah.
So I'm trying to decide if I want cowboys or if I want the Delve Masters ones.
I mean, like Spire Bluffs are like $3, $4 now. You know, like it's a good time.
Arena players, we're still sorry. There's no fixing that economy for you.
Things I'm not sorry about. Anything happening on Arena, you dug that one yourself.
True.
I can't think of any like good Twitter drama to talk about this week, right? For Magic related anyway. You guys got to go RCQ this week. I haven't gotten to RCQ. My first RCQ is going to be on this Sunday, so I'm excited for that.
I'll be there.
Hell yeah, let's do it. How was your guys' first RCQ week experience?
It was a lot of fun. It was 64 players.
Ooh. Yeah, it was a lot.
And we're going to run it back, same location next week, Saturday.
At Sacrifice.
At Sacrifice, basically. It was fun. There was, there was somebody who was a judge. But this week is going to be better because Walker will be judging. Hooray. Actual level twos, right? You know?
Yeah.
And
judging Clockwork? Is that Kyle or Walker?
I have no idea. It's not Walker. Walker's playing. So.
Okay.
Kyle then. Yeah. Probably, or maybe Kevin?
Maybe Kevin, yeah.
But it was interesting. There were some interesting rulings I heard about. But all in all, the weirdest one is my opponent in round three.
Okay, I've heard this story. All right.
All right. And this is not against my opponent. This is not my opponent's fault. This is the judge's fault. In round two, they found that his deck sheet was incomplete. And they gave him a game loss, right?
Okay.
They found the problem. They gave him a game loss, And then the judge, instead of fixing the deck sheet, gave it back to that player and told them to fix it. So they did, and then gave it back.
They messed it up.
And then we got to me playing them in round three, and they stopped us for a deck check. And the judge was like, sorry, it's still wrong. So you're going to get a game loss again.
No.
It was like, I was just like, there's no way, right?
This is double jeopardy. You can't give me a game loss for the same infraction, right?
You don't give it back to the player and go like, here, fix this by hand. Like, you as the judge have determined the fix, right? Like, which the thing was, he just forgot to write in his thespian stages.
So then how did they fix it the first time? What did they do?
I don't know. I guess like he forgot to, what he happened is he wrote in four thespian stages twice on accident. So now he had listed eight thespian stages.
Oh my God.
And it's just like, how, this can't be right. This can't be right.
Colors on my deck sheet.
Now I don't actually know if that's correct procedure, but it doesn't seem right that you can be like, hey man, you messed this up. Okay, I'll take the game loss. I'm sorry. Fixed it. And then you're like, you didn't fix it right. I should have watched you, you know, like it's just, anyways, he beat me anyway, so it did not matter. So yeah. I'm glad, you know, karma wins in the end. So
there you go.
But that was super, super weird. And then there was reports of a deck that was playing High Noon and Holy Cow in Pioneer.
Okay.
That may or may not have been sliding High Noons under other cards to cast more than one spell in a turn. May or may not have been drawing two cards off clue tokens. May or may not have forgotten their Thalia two or three times.
Convenient.
In the same game. The judge was informed about all four of those infractions.
Oh, no.
And nothing was done.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
We're consistent, right?
Yeah.
We're consistent.
But the actual vibe, the actual event, the everything else went amazing. It was amazing. Tons of fun. Lots of people there to play Pioneer, having fun.
The logistics seemed good. I will tell you that the rounds did start on good timing, it felt like.
Yeah.
That's, I heard the event was won by a wonderful, wonderful Papa Crawl with Mono White Human.
That's right, big dog. He was out there hunting. Mono White.
But
humans took it down.
Mono White with four containment priests.
Yeah, might as well, right? I only played against Phoenixes and Vampires and the Lotus Field player.
I think he said on Twitter, the key to winning is just dodging all the real decks.
I feel like if you're just ready for Vampires, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
That's the deck that is really just becoming kind of the, it's the scam of Pioneer.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it kind of can, it just, if it does the thing enough, it doesn't matter.
Oh, now that tweet Nate post makes sense now. Now I get why they're calling it hand ripping. They're getting vein ripping.
Yeah.
Veins are being ripped.
I was in testing. We were just testing the other night, playing against a game of Vampires. And in game one, no sideboard cards, I managed to beat three Sorens and two Vein Rippers.
And then lose to the...
And then they drew.
Fourth. Yeah.
Past turn, still only have three lands in play. I attack with two Phoenixes, put them to five. They draw, and they just, like, laugh, and they're just like, sorry. And they go, fourth Sorin minus Vein Ripper 3. And it's just like, yeah. yep.
Yeah.
I remember when I was doing my
playtesting with the deck. I think I won against Phoenix in a game one where I attacked with a single Archfiend of the Dross once and connected. The rest of the damage to my opponent was done all through triggers.
How about Sorin triggers? How about Sorin go face?
Yeah, no, it was just, well, yes, you sacrifice your guy, Vein Ripper triggers, Archfiend triggers, then my Vein Ripper triggers because he has died.
He has died.
Hate it when that happens.
How about you, Chris? So what'd you guys play?
Well, you know, we got our passports, we got our shots, we headed over to the game store, you know?
And, in America?
That's right, in America. It was in fact in America. And it's funny because like we walk into that room and I really think this is one of the more connected that especially the Pioneer scene has been. because I'm going to tell you that I knew like 40 of the 60 people there.
Okay.
We saw Garg from the Discord.
Sure.
Steve and Amanda were there. I didn't know they were going to be there. They just popped up in Cleveland.
Yeah, I didn't know they were going to make the drive either, but I was
They were just there in Cleveland Cavalier swag, and I was like, why? None of this makes sense to me. You're here, you're wearing Cleveland Cavalier, and they're like, we're from Ohio. And I was like, how did I not know that when Ruckman
I knew. I knew I liked them for
a reason. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I was like, how did Ruckman know that? I was like, wow.
Now I have to go talk to them at Ohio.
I know. I sung that one song at them. I sung the one song at Steve. There's nothing wrong with Ohio, except for the snow and rain, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, they seemed like they had a good time. I think it was a little bit overwhelming. I will tell you that the store has an extra addition outside that used to be an outside place that they've now made into an inside. And it's kind of small and it's not even. It used to be outside cobblestone. And so unfortunately it's at a 5-degree slant, which I realized like midway through, I was like, huh, are we slanted? And everybody next to me was like, yeah, yeah, we are tilted. We are literally tilted in a physical sense. So that was kind of a funny aspect of it. But you couldn't hear yourself think in that edition. They brought the Commander players in there.
Ah, yeah.
And Commander players love to scream.
And someone turned game nights on the TV and they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, exactly right. It was wild. It was hurt. So we lost game one or match one to opponent on Mono Black. Because I had to explain to them again 5 times how Karavik worked. Mm-hmm. They were nice. The only thing about them that was a little odd was like at the end, I was like, hey, I think I'm going to concede. I'm not sure that I can beat you. And they were like, well, I was going to kill you with Shieldred.
And not sure,
like,
man.
Thanks. I mean, cool. I saw your Shieldred on the battlefield, but I've killed two of them. Like, this is game three. I've killed a bunch of Shieldreds already. And they were like, oh, yeah, if Shieldred dies. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's kind of weird that I was like, hey, I'm going to concede to you. And you're like, oh, like, got weird about it, you know?
Chris. They still had all these.
They still had all those. Yeah, it was pretty funny. They also, you know what they had all these of was Gaia Reach Sanitarium, which I did not realize was legendary until my BFF Ricky walked over and was like, that card's legendary. And I was like, I knew something was weird about it. So
look, there may be 4 mayors of Averbrook, but Gaia Reach definitely only has 1 sanitarium.
Right.
And then I lost to one of the guys in the Austin Discord. I'm going to call him the American Dream because he was just great. Big, strong American man, really, really nice, played vampires. We went to game 3. I think I went to game 3 in pretty much all of my matches. And then from there, we lost our first rounds, and Ricky was still playing, so I just went on a tear. And we played against another one of the Austin guys who I know was playing like a pretty cool Abzan, like Coco deck, Abzan Company. And I think if there was a little more pressure on me, I would have died. That was one thing I was kind of noticing, was like we had some really good interaction spells, but not a lot of pressure. And so I won there. I won against a Phoenix player who kept forgetting how many spells he cast in a turn.
Ah.
Which was a poor guy. That happened like one time where he brings back Phoenix. And I'm like, I think you cast a regular fairy, not a Free the Fae. So you're at 2 spells. He was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But so
creatures are spells, though.
I know. Exactly right. Yeah, yeah. So we did win that one in a game 3 after opponent being upset. They drew a lot of lands, but had every single spell pierce ever to stop my double showdowns. So I also had the bad luck on that one. Played against one of my favorite people to play against, Spin Effects from our Discord from OG way back.
I thought you were gonna say me, but I wasn't there.
You were not there. That's exactly right. So Spin Effects had Amalia, and I think I just drew more sideboard cards.
Mm-hmm.
In that matchup, but that was another game 3 where really cool interaction where Spin Effects targeted his own Fauna Shaman with a Get Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had two main deck, thanks to Ricky, 2 main deck Containment Priests in my Pia deck, which got the Company player in round 3 and also got Spin Effects on Amalia because they were like, oh, I was going to, you know, Coco or Court of Calling, you know, and then you can't do that anymore. So after seeing that, they were like, well, I need a way to start my combo because I also had Doorkeeper Thrall as like a 3 of in the board, I think. So those 2 cards really stop any creature shenanigans from going on. So you also can't, you know, cord for any kind of like the 3/2/2 spirit that exile stuff.
Yeah.
The new Skyclave Apparition. Yeah, Skyclave Apparition is a new one. So they did that because like, well, I need a way to jumpstart my combo. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can actually just force the explore and not have to gain life and then trigger it that way because you can just sacrifice the map. So I thought, I'm not sure if the timing on that play was right, but it was a really, really heads up play that I thought was really, really good. So we snuck that one in game 3. And then I played one, a really nice gentleman from Stillwater, Oklahoma, who made the drive down, was visiting a friend and was playing just regular black red midrange. And same thing, went to game 3 and I eked it out. I really, really like my Pia list, except I think that Ricky's right.
Bad.
We might drop the Pia. Yeah. The best card in that deck is Showdown of the Scalds, followed by Slickshot. If you guys are not paying attention, you're about to see as we talk about these challenges. Slickshot Supremacy, it is here. And I think you can play it cool.
Let's see. The Discord today has been talking.
They've been talking. They've been chatting. I've been seeing it. But I'm a Slickshot gamer now, okay? That's all I do is I Slickshot. I shot slicks, okay? And I shot web sometimes. But mostly, I shot slicks now, okay?
Good thing they're blanks.
They're blanks. That's exactly
Chris has been on certain websites that are banned in Texas now. And he found the secret sauce they've been drinking, you know, to make sure that his slicks are nice and thick.
That's exactly right. But had a sweet game three.
Put Spider-Man over here.
Had a sweet game three with black red mid-range. And that was awesome. I think most people that I played had actually listened to our show before. I think they were super, super nice. So if anybody wants me to talk about them more, it was cool with that. Next time I'll get more permission. So I'm just going to go over lightly. But yeah, shut under the skull.
Chris is going to have a release form for all of his opponents.
Release form. You don't want to dox anybody. But you know what? Everybody was great. They knew who they are. But yeah, man, I think Shredder of the Scalds and then Doorkeeper Thrall were the all-stars of the weekend. Like, definitely huge reasons to be in white. So I'm going to be probably running Boros back if I don't play Gruul in the coming weeks. I'm a believer, so.
But are you a believer?
That's both of those things, so.
Yeah, all right.
I started off a little disappointed, but we finished off 4-2. I was the bottom of the 4-2s for losing early, but I'm glad I stayed, had some fun. Like I said, we knew pretty much everybody that was there. All of the Houston guys were there and were super nice. One thing that I really, really liked was a guy named Jeremy from that Houston team was just chilling and his opponent didn't show up. So like some guy kind of sat down and was like, oh, are you playing Commander? And he was like, no, I don't have Commander on me. I'm here for a competitive tournament. And he was like, oh, well, I've got a standard deck on me. And the Houston guy, Jeremy, was like, oh, I do too. And they just started like playing standard and you could tell that the other guy was like a new player. So Jeremy just sat there and like helped him play and was just like, oh, here's how you would do this. And the guy was clearly about it. Right? He wasn't like, man, he wasn't over explaining or anything like that. But I just thought it was really a touching moment, even though I couldn't hear myself think in that room. It was super nice for him to like not be upset.
Most of Houston Magic is super chill. There's one person we're not going to name, but the rest of Houston Magic knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And let's just say they're a foe of the people. And you know what? They put a bad name for Houston Magic, but the rest of Houston Magic, super chill.
Yeah, I just thought it was really, really nice. I thought it was really what Magic is all about, which is like helping people play. And maybe they've made somebody a competitive Magic player, you know? And I saw Gabe also like help a new player out. Gabe from the Houston team was helping out a newer player in like round four or something like that and kind of, you know, not teaching him to play or anything like that. They were in a competitive tournament, but. I don't know. I just thought it was really classy. I really liked what I saw. I really liked the vibe from Pioneer players. The format was super diverse, and overall, I thought it was a great time, and I am super looking forward to RCQing more with hopefully all my boys in the coming future here because it was awesome.
Oh, man. I can't wait to find out what rules don't apply to me on Sunday. We're heading back to that store.
We're going back.
I just remember
we're
that.
Back. We're getting deep in
Ricky,
there.
Ricky, you want to talk about your deck? Or are we?
Oh, yeah.
I
decided that I was going to break new ground and I was going to innovate and try fun new stuff. Don't.
Yeah. It's the meme just coming out of the box, just getting punched back into the box.
I compared my event to that scene in Talladega Nights where Ricky Bobby puts on the blindfold to feel the road.
Sure.
And then ends up in somebody's house. Embarrassed. I really thought I could feel it, you know? I played Blue-Black Phoenix with Prof's Eidotic Memory and Duelist of the Mind in the main. Four Duelists, two Eidotic Memory. We're playing Thoughtseize, Fatal Push, two Bitter Triumph, two Shieldred's Edict, and Three Steps Ahead is another Thunder Junction card we were trying out. And I won against Phoenix round one. Then I beat Gabe on Phoenix in round two, playing like the worst I've ever played in my life, which is why I thought the deck was good because I was like, I just missed three like Shredder triggers and I missed my own Prof's Eidotic Memory draw trigger and still won. It was really bad. I got a little shook because I like cast Prof's Eidotic Memory, resolved Ledger Shredder, and then put the Eidotic Memory in play, played a land and then said, I forgot to draw a card off Eidetic Memory. I forget that it does that. And then after that, I just missed a billion plays. But anyways, we won that one. Our third round opponent had a game loss. So I thought we were just in it. I was just really, like, yeah. I'm like, this is my worst matchup in regular Phoenix. And now we're going to stomp it with this black Phoenix. And everything fell apart. And I was just in the cardboard box rolling down the hill like the Red Bull races, you know?
Oh, no.
So we lost there. We played against Vampires, and we lost there. And then we played against Vampires, and we lost there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played against
Vampires. The turn was over.
We played against Phoenix again, and we lost there.
That was Amanda.
That was Amanda.
It was Amanda. Amanda serving up Ricky butt whoopings right there.
It was beautiful. It was terrible. My deck was really bad. The thought of just like Ledger Shredder is really good, so I want like more Ledger Shredders because like the Ledger Shredder hands unstick my Phoenixes, and I don't know. Fatal Push just feels like a bad card in the meta right now.
Sure,
it kills Ledger Shredder.
Yeah,
and it kills Amalia. But it does not kill Vein Ripper. It's really hard to get it to kill Preacher and Shieldred when you're playing when you're playing Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. Yeah, Phoenix should not play Fatal Push. Shieldred's Edict seems like a good card, but it should have just been Blot Out. Should have just made that Blot Out.
You should listen to me. I've been talking Blot Out all this time.
And what's funny is when I was testing it, I was playing a one of Blot Out main, and I won so many times against Vampires that I was like, I can cut the Blot Out. I don't need it. I win so much against this deck. You need it. And then Three Steps Ahead was never a card that I ever wanted in my hand. And like,
that's for the control deck, not you.
Even worse, if my opponent ever saw it, we just passed back and forth and they just cast garbage spells. And I was just like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure. Okay.
Turns out you only need to be one jump ahead of the breadline, not three.
Yeah, that card was not very good. So, you know, we're gonna run it back with Phoenix, the real Phoenix.
Not the real run back.
We're gonna main deck. I've been testing a lot with Phoenix. I'm going to say right now, I think four Lightning Axe is a mistake. It's really clunky. So Tears of Valakut is just good in the format right now.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sure.
it kills Ledger Shredder dead, kills Phoenixes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it kills Vein Ripper. So we're just main decking one.
Yeah.
There's just no reason not to. And I am now going to be playing Highway Robbery.
Oh, we'll talk about that card here in a second.
Yeah, card is it's pretty good, let me tell you.
All right, well, I think that is enough for our talks of RCQ goodness. Let's dive on into, because we got to look, Daybreak, Dawnbreak. They've been killing it with all these events for scheduled events now. People complained. They said, "Hey, I'm in this time zone. It's hard for me to play these challenges." So they said, "Hey, guess what? We're gonna double up challenges now." And we're going to give some more during the week. So we have like six challenges to talk about every week. So I think now going forward, as I'll give this many challenges, we're just going to kind of run through the top eights real quick. Then we're just going to talk about some of the standout top eight deck lists and kind of going one by one through all of them. So after this week, we might just do it where I just kind of take stock of how many decks placed in how many top eights. That might be a little bit faster way of doing it, talking about some standout deck lists. But for right now, we're just going to test out where we're just going to kind of run through all the top eights. Then we're going to come back and talk about deck lists and upgrades. And then I went and asked the Discord, hey, I haven't had time to dig through leagues. Are there some cool deck lists you've seen in leagues you want to talk about? And so someone was kind of to kind of go through and pick out a few league deck lists that we're going to talk about as well. What's with the challenges? So let's get started with the challenges. Our first challenge, we're going to look at 8th place, Mistari Mahdi on a mono black discard. 7th place, Tyus M on Azorius Spirits. 6th place, Neko 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 on Abzan Amalia. In 5th place, we have Soto on Is It Phoenix. 4th place, we have Boyne on Mono White Humans. 3rd place, Brunino on Is It Phoenix? Second place, Luna Love on Reckless Vampires. And first place, we have Squirrel 19 on Mono Black Discard. And on the next challenge, we have Hirosukai on Mono Blue Spirits in eighth place. I tell you what, anytime a new set comes out, always bet on Mono Blue Spirits to have a couple weeks there at the beginning of the format to be good, and it'll kind of fade away a bit as people figure stuff out. It's always a good one to start off the format with, I think. Seventh place, we have 416 Frowning Table on Is It Phoenix. Sixth place, TZO on Ragnus Vampires. Fifth place, Makubi on Niv Delight. Fourth place, Meryl Lonzi on Mono Red Aggro, featuring some Slick Shot Show Off. So we're going to come back to this deck for sure. Moving on to third place, you have Ariane on Niv Delight, featuring three copies of Pillage of the Bog. Second place, we have Kokoff on Mono Black Discard. And first place, you have Tourist Zero on Rakdos Vampires. Our next challenge, we have Arglex on Rakdos Vampires. Seventh place, Mistari Mahdi on Mono Black Discard. Sixth place, Capitano CL on Quintorius Combo. Fifth place, Tyus Emon Azorius Spirits. Fourth place, Mataka on Rakdos Vampires. Third place, Renth on Spirits. I'm telling you, Ricky, you could just let me play it. You could just let me play it. Let me play a little spirits. Lewis underscore row on Niv to Light. This time on No Pillage the Bogs. And first place, we have Claudio on Niv to Light, the Dragon Man himself on three Pillage the Bog.
The king has returned.
Showing the mirror that you need Pillage the Bog.
No, this is literally Claudio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do anything.
That's why it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the only reason it works.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you're allowed to do it.
I don't want to play this deck. I don't play this garbage. I'm just saying, you guys are hating on Pillage the Bog, but look here, the man, the myth, the legend himself, the Dragon King, saying, play him.
That's true.
Speaking of Dragon King, Kibler's saying he's got a certified banger registered for Standard this weekend. So I'm excited to see what it is.
How many Daybreak Rangers are in there? That's what I want to know.
Enough to not get banned. Not get kicked out of the event. Hey, with the DCI dead, how do lifetime bans work in Magic now? Are people still lifetime banned?
No, they're just coming back and playing.
Do it. Yeah.
That's what they're doing. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we've seen them out there.
All right. Eighth place, 416 Frowning Table on Is It Phoenix. Seventh place, ALMTG on Rakdos Vampire. Sixth place, Fingers 1991 on Boros Heroic featuring Slickshot Show Off. In fifth place, we have Little Darwin on Mono Black Mirror. This is not Mono Black Discard. We're going to talk about the differences here in a few minutes. Fourth place, VFS on Azorius Control. Third place, Zenowan on Hidden Strings. Second place, Neb12R on Mono White Humans. And first place, Dookie Trouser. What a good name. Trouser MD on Gruul Aggro. Of course, another Slickshot Show-Off deck. So put a pin in that. We got three Slickshot Show-Off decks to come back to. As Chris said, it is a big week for Slickshot Show-Off. Coming on down to eighth place, we have your boy Timu on Jeskai Ascendancy in eighth place. We have Remph on Azorius Spirits. We have Tyus M. Azorius Spirits. Come on, guys, just let me have a little bump. Let me just
nope,
a little, just
nope, a little, nope. A little bump. You've been clean for so long, Mark. You've been clean for so long.
I just bought the foil spell quellers.
Did you?
Yeah, we upgraded to four foil spell quellers.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Fifth place, Tweety on Mono Black Discard. Fourth place, Hirosukai on Mono Blue Spirits. Third place, Franticore on, this is a fun one, Enigma Jewel Combo. We got some Training Grounds of Prosthetic Memory. We'll come back to this one, of course. Second place, Claudio on Niv to Light. Once again, Pillage the Bog. And then first place, MJ23 with the Gruul Aggro. Blinking, you miss it, you're dead. Let's move on to our last, almost there. Last two challenges. There's so many events now. How am I going to keep up? Eighth place, Nap Daemon on Mono Black Midrange. Again, that is not discard, everyone. First place, we have seventh place, we have Boy Triton on Is It Phoenix. Sixth place, we have Luna Love on Rakdos Vampires. Fifth place, ALMTG on Rakdos Vampires. Fourth place, Red and Snap 1, Is It Phoenix. Third place, Claudio, Pillage the Bog, Niv to Light. Second place, Termidor on Abs and Amalia combo. And first place, Soggy Trues on Rakdos Vampires. I got one event left. I tell you what, though, you're seeing a lot of the same names. These people know the sauce and how to win this format. They just might. Going in on our last challenge here, we have Anonymous on Is It Phoenix, Lenny on Is It Phoenix, Glulka Arbur on Is It Phoenix. Oh, Reggie Hanger 49 here breaking up the Is It. Keeping Is It Strong, but on Is It in Soul. Fourth place, I Am B Magic on Rakdos Vampires. Third place, King of All You See on Mono Red Aggro. Second place, Claudio on Pillage the Bog combo. First place, Stolange on Abs and Amalia combo. That's a lot of repeater names. That's a lot of repeater decks. A lot of fun players. Let's talk about some of the key differences. Gentlemen, do we want to talk about Slickshot? Do we want to talk about the mono black decks? Where do we want to begin?
We want to talk about blue white training grounds.
Blue? I do not want to talk about that deck.
I'll let look. Chris said it first.
That whole event, right? This whole event, everybody played very well. It is early morning event after 4:20.
This is true,
and it shows. What do we got here? All the Vampires players, they're not here. They didn't log
in.
They
have jobs.
They're out vein ripping. It's hunting hours.
This is just, you know, the Phoenix players, you know, they went and had a great holiday weekend, you know?
Yeah.
But we got, you know, everybody else left, you know?
This
event is a wild one.
So this deck list, we got four Harrier Strix, four Hypnotic Grifter, four Omen Hawker, four Prophet of Distortion, four Special Sailor, one the Reality Chip, four Enigma Jewel, four Training Ground, four Witness Protection, four Prosthetic Memory, then a bunch of lands here with some Nykthos Shrine and Nyx action. What am I, for someone who has, as someone who has, you know, definitely worked a lot of nights this last few, several days, weeks, months, I've lost track of time.
What is time? What is life?
How do deck work? How do deck win?
Deck work by Training Ground make card ability cost less.
Okay.
By two. All of our creatures activate to draw cards, okay? So what we're doing here is we're using Enigma Jewel, which taps for two colorless to activate abilities. We're using Training Grounds to make those abilities cost less. And we're using Prof's Eidetic Memory, which is a very strong card and is a card that's probably under-costed in real dollars right now. This is not financial advice, but that card is very strong, and I think it's a really, really fun card also. Okay. So we are just combo-killing our opponent by drawing, you know, a ton of cards, overwhelming them with a bunch of one mana creatures. Particularly also Hypnotic Grifter is really strong because for three mana it connives.
Okay.
So that's one of the easiest ones to just go over and over and over again and make larger. The rest of them just draw cards on the
right. So we just make a flyer really big.
Yep.
And then kill them with a Prof trigger. Okay.
Exactly right. Yep. Okay. It's that simple.
I mean, it's just Nykthos.
Mm-hmm.
We use Nykthos, yeah.
We sure do. We have Nykthos as one of our lands. So we've got a lot of blue ticks, and like I said, it's just very easy to go really, really big on one of these creatures, draw a ton of cards where it's like, hey, are you really going to Fatal Push this? Because I've got four more to replace it, you know?
Sure.
And they're getting real, real big. So you can spread the love around, which I really, really like. Every turn, you're drawing a lot of cards, doing a lot of fun stuff. So this is a really interesting idea. I haven't seen the success replicated. I've seen a lot of people try and stream this deck afterwards. But if you already have Nykthoses, and we'll say this for a lot of lands and or other cards, where if you already have this, the deck is insanely cheap. Literally half the cost of the deck is in Nykthoses and your Hollowed Fountains and Pathways. You know, you need one Odawara, Seachrome Coast are super cheap. Otherwise, the most expensive card is Training Grounds. So, you know, whatever those are, $4 or $5 a piece, I think.
They're from Aftermath, so they're basically free.
True. Yep. They're in there. So the deck is super cheap to pick up. So if you want to mess around with something fun, I almost liken this to the new Mono Blue Spirits. I think this is kind of a cute brew for that kind of thing, you know? But the thing you got to realize, Enigma Jewel is legendary. And we don't usually need multiple training grounds, but those are all things we can discard to conniving or a Harrier Strix. I think you got to remember about Harrier Strix. It's a loot, not a draw card.
Okay.
So the ones that just straight up draw you cards are Prophet of Distortion and Spectral Sailor. Everything else requires a draw and a discard. So I've seen that come up against like Waste Knot, where somebody was activating it into a waste knot, didn't realize it made them discard, and then just gave their opponent free stuff. So really sure. cool deck there. Yeah, some inexpensive to pick up, kind of fun. Not sure how competitive it is.
But. Let's save the slick shots for the end. And I think we'll kind of do that. We'll do Boros, Mono Red, Gruul, kind of the count there. Let's kind of quickly talk about the differences between Mono Black discard and this Mono Black mid-range deck list. So kind of the key difference here is Mono Black mid-range, I think, is more similar to the deck that people are going to think of, like previously saw a lot of play. I'm trying to think of the first.
It just played Invoke Despair.
Essentially what's what it is, right? It's playing Invoke Despair instead of Waste Knot.
So, Deadly Cover Up, which is really big.
Yes, Deadly Cover Up is a great wrath. Honestly, I think what we're going to see after this week, I think cheap wraths are going to be at a premium right now. I think we're going to see a lot of smaller creatures. So I think things like Anger of the Gods, stuff like that, I think are going to be at a bit of an all-time high following this last week of events. So, yeah, I mean, that's something to worry about. Invoke Despair has been historically one of those cards that's very good against the mid-range decks, really. Especially Rakdos mid-range. I mean, we even saw previously Rakdos mid-range decks playing copies of Invoke Despair and kind of changing the deck list to folks on Invoke Despair in the past. So it's not really a surprise that these decks show up. It is a value engine in a removal spell. And, you know, I mean, generally you can maybe hold off for a turn against a Vein Ripper, right? So this comes down 2 turns after Vein Ripper, not the end of the world. Maybe it comes down a turn after Vein Ripper if you have a treasure token from a – well, not you won't have a treasure token here, right? Because you're not playing you have a Celestis, so you could technically turn three this – or turn four this, sorry.
Yeah.
So that is – definitely an option there. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Obviously, we're seeing Karavik kind of hold up and kind of make its big debut with Mono Black discard. We're seeing the power and players kind of remember Invoke Despair as a card again. If you were to pick a version of Mono Black, which would you be looking at going forward the next few weeks?
I mean, this deck looks like it just attacks the current meta.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like it is kind of preying on the fact that there's not much aggro. I feel like when Mono Black mid-range.
Mid-range, okay.
We're only playing four Fatal Pushes, right? We're playing double Cling to Dust, right? Like, two Duresses. Like, one Go for Throat, one Heartless Act, one Power Word Kill, two Shieldra's Edict. Like, I think that this deck is kind of, like, slow and controlling. Yeah. And it's going to get run over if the aggro decks do come back because of Slick Shot.
The only thing I'll tell you, and this was my experience against the Waste Knot deck, was I was like two mistakes away from winning that match, like almost handedly. And I will tell you that Waste Knot is slow.
Yeah.
Because like trying to go turn two Waste Knot into a turn three discard two cards, bro, you're dead. You didn't have interaction. I mean, that's not an acceptable turn one, turn two, turn three.
It's play. Also like the first Waste Knot's not what kills you. It's like the second Waste Knot, right? Like
this is true.
You can play around the first Waste Knot.
But I think it's more for value. Again, I think I like Ricky's point of just like, hey, you know, what are you doing against aggro? I just think it's kind of the other way where it's like I'd rather be the mid range deck that doesn't have a 2-mana enchantment that it's like stuck in the hand against aggro.
Sure.
And again, it depends on how much we see it, right? If a bunch of decks start going back to running tons of removal and Slick Shots get hated out, which I think it can happen. I think the plot's a big benefit of that, as we'll talk about.
I talked about it in spoiler season. I think these mono black decks need to look back at Wasteland Strangler. That way we get to get rid of these Slick Shots on plot and kill a guy at the same time. That's a 2-for-1 there.
That'd be pretty huge. That would almost do a game in if you're not a you know card advantage esque build, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have any way to cantrip or whatever else, which a lot of these Gruul decks talk about have. So I would rather be on the mid range plan going forward, just because I think Waste Knot's a little bit of a liability. And while I do really really like the like go blank effects, I think that Cling to Dust is also a good snipe card. Against the general meta. Cling to
Dust has always been a card I thought has been underplayed for like the last year or so in Pioneer. I think it's a card that should have always seen like getting nods. I mean, we've seen like Demir Control keep playing it, right? It's a card that if I'm playing one or two copies of, I don't think it's ever a truly dead card.
Right. I mean, it can always at least cycle itself for a mana, you would assume, right? I mean, Pioneer's a format where you do have a lot of cards hitting the yard, not as much as if we had fetches, but point is, it can gain you life, it can draw you cards, it slices, it dices, you know? So I'd rather be on that effect than, like, main deck go blanks, and then just have a bunch of, like, black interaction spells, but I'm not, you know, the problem with vampires, as we've talked about before, is once you kill that Vein Ripper, the clock slows down drastically, you know?
Sure.
You can absolutely just get beaten down by a couple of Bloodtithe Harvesters if you're just sitting there waiting, if you just held on for only that. But if you have additional interaction, that's kind of the problem that Vampire is. Still a great deck. I'm just, because, you know, you're going to get Thoughtseize into that combo all day long. But if you can deal with that Vein Ripper, then you're a lot more likely to have success versus playing multiple threats, strong threats, Karavex to interact, Shield Rids, right? That's still a heck of a card. You know, it's still $80 yeah. for a reason. So I'm probably leaning towards the mono black mid range version of the deck right now.
Ricky, you got any thoughts?
I think that, like, mono black Waste Knot is a little bit better, like the hand control, but I think both of the decks are currently only around because they are preying on the Phoenix Vamps meta. Mm-hmm. I think that, as I said, like, if it becomes like, if something opens up, if people stop playing Amalia, if Slickshot really is the hero that aggro needs.
I have no idea what happened.
Brooklyn got a little excited about the Spirits decks.
Yeah,
he did. He started slamming the keyboard. Lights yep. were flashing. The ghosts mm-hmm. were everywhere.
They were.
I believe that Ruckman was possessed by That's the right. spirit of Spellqueller.
Which means yeah. it's time to talk about that so that we can get rid of those
unfortunately, evil all of our cameras also went out, so we'll have to. Don't call Russell Crowe yet. You know, the Pope's Exorcist the will Pope's have to Exorcist. Wait
yeah.
Till the sequel. You know, you'll have to be the trilogy movie.
Doesn't but he Ruckman, die in that one?
No. No, he beats the devil.
Yeah, but does he beat the devil with the actual factual blood of Christ like in The Nun?
No. Not this isn't The Nun. This is a movie based on facts and science.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Are you telling me?
I'm telling you.
Real. The wards are real, though. That Raggedy Andal is real spooky.
All right, Ruckman, tell us about Spirits.
Look, it's the same deck I've been wanting to play for the last few weeks now, but Mommy and Daddy keep telling me no.
Well, this one plays Smuggler's Copter.
Oh.
Yeah, no, this is what's been played for the last few weeks now.
Okay.
It has not been the list. If you thought we've been playing normal Spirits the past few weeks, we have not. We've evolved and brought all of our good sideboard cards for Rakdos into the main board because we need them.
Fair enough.
I mean, yeah, essentially it's like we talked about, especially during boot camp, right? The Spirits build, essentially being held up by Taya 7 Renf, Mausoleum Wanderer, Special Sailor, Rattle Chain, Supreme Phantom, Catilda Spellqueller, Wandering Emperor in the main, Gobakons in the main. We're playing a couple Get Lost to Spell Pierce, so no more lies. We're on Copters, we're on Wedding Outs in the main, and we're just playing a more mid-range strategy, essentially, where the previous version of Azorius Spirits, right, was a lot. It was very similar to Mono Blue, where our goal was we're going to land a one drop, we're gonna make it a curious boy, and we're going to protect that boy to the end. Now we are being a lot more, I'm going to say, kind of reactive to our opponent, right? We only have limited interaction. We're dropping down on spells here. So our point is we are going to be holding up our No More Lies, and essentially we're just going to kind of hold the board until we can start slipping in some spirits while leaving mana up for those more impactful spells. I mean, it's nice too, because with lack of aggro decks, right? You know, you can kind of, every deck I feel like now has a lot of, like, unless they're playing this big spell, you don't got to worry about countering it, right? Like, we can come back and deal with that, you know?
Yeah.
We got to counter the Sorin when it comes down. If they're not casting Sorin, that's when we can put a spirit on the board type of stuff. So that's what this deck is doing. So, and that's why Phoenix, still not a great matchup. It's about a 50-50 right now.
You know that Tears of Alakut also kills all the spirits.
Ricky? All right. Well, you know.
It also kills Smuggler's Copter. But anyways, can you explain the mono blue spirits? Can you explain this list?
Yeah, what event is it in? There's so many events. Oh my gosh.
It's a couple of times. It's the same person every time.
Okay, yeah.
But April 21st, they're out here playing four Geistlight Snare in year 2024.
Yeah. Well, again, we're playing Curious Possession, so we're still get to play Geistlights there. One thing I like with the mono blue deck, though, is it picked up Cryptic Coat, which is a very, very powerful card.
I love that card.
We have a lot of mana lying around, right? So now we don't have, when we have extra mana lying around, we can either start buffing up our Ascendant Spirits, or we can activate a Cryptic Coat and just keep resetting it and filling our board that way. So glad to see Mono Blues also pick up some new toys here, like we said with Cryptic Coat. So that's kind of what we're doing here. And yeah, it's still playing Geistlight Snare just because we're playing Curious Possession. So yeah, we can make one mana Geistlight Snares, and it's better than Lofty Denial. So we're
playing one of Icon of Ancestry in the sideboard?
Yeah, you know, so we can find our icons of our ancestors.
Yeah, and one of Miscast?
Well, you know, sometimes you need an extra. You need another. You get another one mana Mandalay.
Spell Pierce.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, Ricky.
It's true. It's true. You know, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. You know, that's what I've been.
You will
told.
Be. You will.
Maggie's feeling the spirits behind you right now. By the way,
yeah,
she is feeling it.
Maggie found the Houston Meth Supply.
Yeah. Halo Supply. This is for family. Okay. Yeah.
Look, I get it. Sorry, Feige told us we couldn't talk about it. I've seen the Deadpool trailer.
That's exactly right.
Well, all the fun. Right. All right. Enough of my fun out of the way. Let's talk about
Mono Red Lives.
Mono Red, not just Mono Red, right? I mean, is there much to talk about with the Boros Heroic deck? I mean, it's kind of just Boros Heroic. We just jam some show offs in there.
If there was a deck that I could recommend you not to play, number one is Marvel. Don't play that deck. It's not standard anymore. Number two is Boros Heroic with Slickshot show offs. Dude, because in a world where people are targeting aggro decks and playing Shieldred's Edicts, you do not want to be on the let me go all in on my creatures plan. This is like, I'm good for this person, and you know, I hope I'm wrong, but like, I would be scared to death. You could not pay me to play this deck in a tournament where people were like, oh, are you ready for aggro? Well, here's all of the interaction to do with you going all in on, you know, some number of creatures versus going wide with Swift Spears, Soul Scar Mages, Kumano Faces Kakuzan. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. Those are the things I want to be doing, which I'll let Ricky talk about with some mono red action. I could not recommend.
All I'm saying is, you know, a wise woman once told me that this ain't Texas, you know?
Okay.
This ain't no hold'em, you know?
So right. Really,
your cards down.
You got no wind to hold
down.
And wind to fold.
No. There's no more holding them. Kenny Rogers' advice, obsolete. We don't listen anymore. We're putting our cards down. We're putting our slick shot on the table like this. And I was going to hit the table and spike the mic and ruin everything, but I stopped myself. But
yeah, it wasn't the first time
you slam it, you know?
This has been a perfect show. You know, this has been a perfect show.
I'm just saying on Arena, when you plot things, it's the loudest noise that Arena has ever generated. Yeah. And it's because they want to, like, let you have the feeling of in paper just actively causing a nuisance at your event, just like
slamming,
dunking the card onto the table, and you go,
yeah,
plot, pass, and then your opponent, they're, as I said, they can no longer ever tap their mana.
Arena also had the recent change with Reach. I call it the Ricky Lynn animation. So
oh
now
my god, I love that thing where it makes sure. It makes sure that I cannot not know that that creature has reached.
Not only does that creature just have a massive bow flowing above it now, but it's also going Super Saiyan at the same time.
Yeah, like it is, it's rippling, and it's just like, yo, this dog has reach. Flyers, beware.
Beware the Ricky special. Ricky, break down this mono red deck.
Yeah, throw a mono red for it.
Hold on. I like there's two mono red decks, and the one I like.
Here's King of All You See is what I have. You
is Mero Lonzi, fourth class.
All right, yeah.
All right.
Bring it down for us. This list better, right?
Okay.
Rangithu Lava Runner, who is a wizard.
Wizards. Okay.
And also a 2/2 with haste normally. Swift Spears, Soul Scars, and Slick Shots. Now, Swift Spear is not a wizard, but it's okay. Yeah. We forgive them.
Slickshot
is a wizard.
He's a wizard
boy.
This is
going to be important later. Keep that in the back of your mind because that'll come up later on the test.
That's exactly right.
Then we're playing four Monstrous Rage. This card's insane. It's been insane. And I put it pretty highly on the Wildfell Drain tier list. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
Fair.
I think we all did. Play with Fire. A playset is $12, and that doesn't make sense to me for a shock, but we're going to play it because it's the best shock. We have one Reckless Impulse. This is a flex spot. Play whatever you want. Four, light up the stage. One mana Reckless Impulse because we are going to hurt our opponent. Four, skewer the critics. It's another Lightning Bolt because we're going to hurt our opponent. Four, Wizard's Lightning. This is a Lightning Bolt if we control a wizard.
We got a lot of those.
We should. Kumano Faces Kazakhan is one of the best red one drops that we've ever seen. It slices, it dices, it puts counters on our guys. It exiles cards, stops them from dying. It randomly triggers prowess and it deals damage to their face and every single planeswalker that they control, just in case, you know? 19 lands. I've seen some lists that are playing 19 lands and also playing four Spike Field Hazard. That seems like overkill. I don't think we need that much, right? Because these say three, but we are never casting these cards for three. Hopefully. If we are, it's gotten, you know, we're in strife, you know? So, I mean, this deck is just as aggressive as you can be. We do not care what our opponent puts on the table. We are just going to attack. We're going to attack, and we're going to cast as many spells as we can. We're going to, in order to get our sorcery speed prowess triggers, like Skewer the Critics and Light Up the Stage, we're even going to play our Play with Fires and our Kumanos pre-combat to trigger our prowess, just so we can get more prowess triggers. It's about maximizing damage before your opponent can play a card that gains them 10 million life, which is what every deck plays nowadays, except for Phoenix.
Yeah. You'll get your Feed the Clans one day.
I don't want to feed the clans.
Clans are going hungry tonight at Ricky's house.
This deck is sick. I like this deck. And then, you know, Rending Volley, super good right now. Tears of Alakut, super good right now. Roiling Vortex stops people from gaining life. And honestly, that's enough. I don't care if you have a Blood Ripper, Vein Ripper. Who Vein cares? Ripper, yeah. If you can't gain life, I don't care. Case of the Crimson Pulse, pretty good refill card. Chandra, Dress to Kill is a fun card. Enables all of our Spectacle. Rampaging Frostedon is the card that you need to beat Amalia.
Is Rampaging Frostedon really $7 right now?
Dog, yeah.
All right.
Well,
and then Witchstalker Frenzy lets us kill everything that isn't Archdemon of the Dross or whatever.
Archdemon of the Dross, yeah.
Archdemon of the Dross.
Yep, kill Shieldreds.
Yep.
Bane Rippers, kind of.
Before they can block, even.
Deck super simple. 11 Mountains, 3 Den, 4 Ramunap Ruins, 1 Soken Zan.
Right.
Jam it, you know? I'm into this.
No, it's sick. No, it's definitely good. All right, Chris. Is it time to let Chris talk about the Gruul decks that that won two challenges this week and have caused quite a discussion today in the Discord of whether or not these decks will be able to keep it up and hang. Now they're kind of... A known quantity.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm going to let Chris go, but I'm going to tell you that.
Tell me.
Gruul, you know.
Gruul? You mean?
Gruul, the Gruul builds of these decks, right? You know, they're like the Kelly Clarkson of aggro decks, right? They never stray too far from the sidewalk, you know?
Yeah.
You know.
They want American Idol.
They always, you know, look on the safe side so they don't get hurt, right?
Sure.
They've got training wheels, you know, on their tricycle. They don't want to tip over. They don't want anybody to touch their things. And I get that, and it's safe, but I don't want to be safe. I want to kill my opponent.
Go ahead, Chris. Okay, well, with that introduction, we'll talk about the Kelly Clarkson of aggro decks, according to one Rick. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Gruul aggro here. Something I might be switching over to, but I do like Shredder of the Skalds. We're going to play our Gigantic Companion. We got our Pokemans. We got four Monastery Swift Spear, three Soulscar Mage, one Picnic Ruiner, four Questing Druid, four Slickshot Show Off, four Blossoming Defense, four Monstrous Rage, four Play with Fire, three Tarka's Command.
Ooh, I love some Tarka's Command.
Three Witchstalker's Frenzy in the main deck. Then we're going to rock two Audacity, four Kumano Faces Kakazan, and one Demonic Ruckus, which, for the purposes of this show, is going to be called Demonic Ruckman. That's the new name of this card. It's what we're calling it. And then we've got 20 lands, as well as some of the most electrifying sideboard cards in Magic Entertainment history. We've got Pick Your Poison. We got some Rending Volleys. We're playing two new cards in the sideboard here in Mage Bane Lizard. Whenever a player casts a non-creature spell, Mage Bane Lizard deals damage to them equal to the number of non-creature spells that they have cast this turn. Case of the Crimson Pulse, a Rampaging Frost Thunder for the board, because why not, and an extra Witchstalker's Friendly Frenzy. Doom makes playing the version with Breakout. I think Breakout's fun. It really depends on how much you can afford to miss, because the Doomwake version plays Burning Tree Emissary, and that's kind of the main difference. Is I think that's almost more of like a combo thing of like, hey, if you don't mind being a little bit that version where it's like you can have some really high highs, because I watched that man go Burning Tree Emissary, and then Reckless Bushwhacker.
Yeah.
And it was just like, woo, that was pretty hot, and it didn't feel...
This has always been a high roll into the Burning Trees.
Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, that was a turn two. You know what I'm saying? You weren't going to come back from that. You just couldn't have enough removal. You couldn't cast enough spells in order to make some stuff happen. The one thing about this deck is you don't have a lot of redraws, right? Yeah. Whatever your hand is, that's going to be your hand, you know? The cool thing is we've got a little bit in Questing Druid and Audacity. Mm-hmm. So if our creatures there die, right, not in response,
well, Audacity gets killed. Ruckus also does it.
What's that?
Ruckus
also redraws. That's exactly right. So we've got three enchantments, and then we do have our Questing Druid. I think Questing Druid's like obviously your main reason to play Gruul, and then give it trample. This card's really, really strong in combination with Slickshot Show Off. So if you like what Gruul has to offer and Pick Your Poison and Questing Druid, I think this deck is really, really strong. Atarka's Command has never been bad. Mostly you're casting this for deal 3 damage and creatures you control gain +1/+1. But against Amalia, you get the players can't gain life first mode. People forget about that all the time.
Yep.
And then, you know, three damage to your opponent, and then +1/+1. The team has obviously been pretty hot, right? That's always been good. It's been called the Tarka Red for however long, but yeah, now it's going to be called Slickshot Red. So, again, I think this version has slightly weaker sideboard cards, and your main reason to play some green here is Tarka's Command, and then some of the extra aggression. I like main decking for Blossoming Defense. One Picnic Ruiner, that's pretty cute. You're almost never casting the 4-mana side, but if you needed to, it's there, right? Like, your games usually do. You don't usually kill straight up on turn 3. It usually takes you through turns 4 or 6 to push the last little bit of damage through. So I like this as a, hey, listen, if we have it, we can cast the 4-mana side, but Double Strike is a really, really good effect, especially when that Double Striker maybe gains Trample with the Monstrous Rage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of your stuff, you're pretty face up on the table anyway. You know, you want to be casting this on your best card, and it's really nice when you have a threat in addition to Slickshot Show Off to take some of the heat off of the show off. He's showing off, you know? Everybody wants to kill the show-off. So you don't usually cast your pump spells on the show-off, as tempting as it might be. You're normally casting on one of your other creatures you have out to try and draw them to kill that one, because obviously your show-off is going to be your most consistent damaging creature. So this deck is really, really hot right now, whether or not you play the breakout version with Burning Tree Emissaries, or whether or not you just play this kind of Atarka Red version, or Mono Red. Right? I think Mono Red's also great to play. You don't have to worry as much about mana issues or whatever, but I'm playing Boros because I think it's the best into other aggro decks, and the white sideboard cards are insane. But this is just a lot of fun. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Gruul gamer, I think this could definitely be for you, and I think this has the most potential early kill power. The other versions are definitely a little bit slower. This, I think, gives you the most consistent kill power while also getting a little bit of redraw effect with Questing Druid and Audacity. Mono Red's kind of just mostly all in. You do have your Light Up the Stages, of course. But this is a Light Up the Stage that also is a, you know, big bad creature. So, you know, it gets really big really, really fast. So I really like these decks. I think these decks are super strong. And I think that especially with main deck Blossoming Defense, you know, you're going to have to play something at some point. And yeah, as we were talking about before, we talked about Slickshot having plot. If I think I need to take it slow, I can play Defend the Slickshot. I can play a little bit of a heroic style gameplay and go all in on this guy because I get to credit card him. I get to pay for it up front, and then I get my creature later when I have my stuff up. And if you do try and kill him, then he's going to get even bigger.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I like about the Slickshot addition to these decks, and why I think the deck is very, very real. I think it makes an impact.
What makes plot interesting is that it's a known unknown.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
No one unknown.
That we know that we don't know, you know?
Yeah, that's right. All right. So that'll do it for the challenges. I mean, there's also, we're really going to kind of dig into them, but there were some like 20th place Demir decks that were playing Jace with Valky and stuff like that. So it's cool to see. Like I said, I went out to the Discord and I asked, hey, if you guys see some cool league deck lists, kind of three league decks I want to talk about real quick that were sent to us by Discord user Rohau. So thank you, Rohau, for going through those. Leads to me a few options here. This first is Boros Humans, a fun take on Boros Humans here. By Bearded Caveman, it's a 5-0 deck list. Boros here. So we're going to play 3 Inti Shedisol of the Sun. With our deck list, we're also playing 4 Moonshaker Cavalry, 4 Amarius Call, and 4 copies of Collector's Cage.
Oh, this is the Collector's Cage deck.
So we got Collector's Cage, which, those that don't know, Collector's Cage is a big score card with Hideaway 5. And then with 1 and tap, put a 1 counter target creature you control. Then if you control 3 or more creatures with different powers, you may play the exiled card without paying its mana cost. So, of course, we're going to cheat in and cast our Amarius Call or our Moonshaker Cavalries for free. And things like Inti, things like Thalia's Lieutenant, and just in training with Hopeful Initiate. There are a lot of ways to get different powers in the Humans deck list. Adeline herself will help us get a different power. There's a lot of ways to kind of control what this is doing. It's super fun. It's a fun build of the decklist, I think. I hadn't heard of this decklist until they posted it in the Discord. This is super fun.
Oh, yeah. I like this deck.
You don't need to interact with your opponent. You're interacting with their life total. That's the idea here. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. You interact with your face. So we don't have to get rid of anything besides a Brutal Cathar, right? And then Thalia is hopefully doing our interacting for us. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mushroom Cavalry will end the game on the spot.
That's true. That card is hard.
Giving our board flying and +X/+X.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, hey, just having the Amaria's Angels is good enough. I mean, that's the thing, too, is, I mean, with Collector's Cage, it's a little bit of a downside that you do have to activate it to get the card cast for you. It's not just a trigger that just happens naturally.
Oh, true.
You do have to put a counter on something, so you do have to play this and then activate it to get your card. But, I mean, it's pretty easy to get this card to pop off.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen this card go off just turn 3, you know?
Yeah.
We just went one drop, double one drop, but one was a 1-2, one was a 2-1, and then another was another 2-1. Then you pumped the third 2-1, right? Yep. And then you had a 1-2 and a 3, and boom, there we were with the Moonshaker Cavalry or a Amiria's Call to make a half a Grease Fang trigger, you know, half a Parhelion in there, right? Get a couple 4/4s, so...
It's definitely a fun one. Our next one is going to be a version. This is going to be a Golgari take on vampires here. So we're going to play our usual vampire pack. We're going to play 2 copies of the Gitrog Ravenous Ride and 4 copies of Huntsman's Redemption here. Huntsman's Redemption, of course, part of the downside of playing vampires, and we have our Sorn. We're looking for that Vein Ripper. Well, Huntsman's Redemption is going to be here to help us go find that Vein Ripper and put it into our hand. So just have a bunch of good value on this side. And then, yeah, Gitrog, Ravenous Ride. Those that don't know, whenever Gitrog deals combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice a creature that's sat out this turn. If you do, draw X cards and put X lands from your hand on the battlefield tapped, that where X is the sacrifice creature's power. So I'm going to guess we're not sacrificing our Vein Ripper, right? But I mean, hey, it's a great way to use our extra elves that are lying around, our Preacher tokens, our Dust and Zealot tokens, way kind of get extra value there. So that is a fun build of that deck. So if you're looking to play some green black cards, like I usually am from time to time, right? I know a lot of people do love them some green black. And then our last deck we're going to talk about, this is going to be a mono black decklist featuring Caustic Bronco. So we're going to be on 1 Alklazoth's Deepest Betrayal, 4 Caustic Bronco, 2 Gift of Aether Born, 4 Graveyard Trespasser, 1 Murderous Rider, 3 Preacher of the Schism, 3 Shields of the Apocalypse, 1 Tiny Bones of the Pickpocket, 2 Bitter Triumph, 2 Blot Out, 4 Fatal Push, 1 Shielder's Edict. So yeah, Caustic Bronco. You know, I still think we could just get actual Bob in the format and be totally fine, but people have been saying Caustic Bronco has been a ton of fun to play, and you know what? I'll believe him.
It's attack Bob, which is better than untap Bob.
Than untap Bob.
Or empty hand Bob.
Or it's more than energy Bob.
Or party Bob.
Yeah, party Bob.
Yeah, don't ever forget about that guy.
Yeah. The thing I see about this is like we're playing too many 2/3s and 2/4s. Like Gift of the Heatherborn's a 2/3, so it has to be saddled 3. We've got Graveyard Trespasser, that passes the check. Murderous Riders are 2/3. Preacher of the Schism's a 2/4. Shieldred Crews it. Tiny Bones does not. So
Tiny Bones plus a Gift of the Heatherborn will.
That's true. I don't we only we have care one about Tiny Bones.
Actually crewing it. I think it's more just into the value. And if we can crew it, that's bonus, right?
Okay, sure. We're just down to draw cards and gain it all back with Alkalots and and Shieldred, huh?
I could be about it. Release, get to crew this and then attack and flip the 7 mana guy that gets less for your creatures in graveyard.
Then we 7 to our opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's pretty baller. That's pretty baller right there.
I think I was at like 10, so if I had just swung, I would have just died.
Yeah, you would just be. Hey, other cool decks I saw here that I don't think we have time to go fully over, but I think should be on your radar if you're looking for a fun deck to play for RCQ season. I think, again, play one of the top decks if your main objective is to win, learn those well. But I think Rakdos Transmogrify is at least tier 2. That's a deck that gets to play a lot of interaction and then still get to put a bit of big Atraxa into play. And then same thing with the red-black Scissors decks. Not red-black. Is it Scissors?
Yeah.
So really, really also like the, you know, hey, I play Spyglass Siren and also Vampire. What's the vampire that does a damage and makes a treasure token? Well, they're an Epicure.
Yeah.
I think is that one. So, yeah, it is. And then animate off that, right? We just make lots of game objects and either sack those to make a Gear Drake bigger if you're playing that or do whatever. I think there's a lot of cool stuff in there that you can play that are also really, really solid in the metagame right now.
All right. Well, I think if we have nothing else, that will do it for this week. Our first look into OTJ format. And what do you guys think? I think we're going to see just anything kind of pop up in here again. I mean, focus kind of on the Pro Tour right now this weekend, but going forward, and then we also will have RCs at some point. What is the standard? June, obviously, RC Dallas in June. So there's a little bit of focus here on
getting ready for it. Yeah.
The standard RCs, right? But Pioneer, of course, will be kind of the competitive focus overall for the next several months here. So I'm looking forward to seeing kind of how the format grows and adapts to Vampires and things like that now that we know it's. Deck is that's been here to stay and not just kind of a quick Pro Tour cash in deck list. So that'll be kind of fun to watch. So that will do it for the main show part of this show. I do want to say thank you for tuning in. And if you want to help support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg, with several great tiers available that do get you access to all sorts of different rewards and things like that. Like if you wanted to go hear our discussion and debate for the top 10. For OTJ in here and have Ricky and us react to Chris's napkin notes. you can go listen to that if you sign up at our $5 tier or above. If you also release videos early and as things will sort of start calming down here and have a little bit more time, we'll start making more videos, like I was saying, and getting those up early for Patreon at the $5 tier and above. Or, you know, if you just join at the $1 tier, you do get access to our exclusive Patreon channels in the Discord with the Patreon mailbag. We can ask a question a week. That sounds something just like this. This question comes in from Thane of Rats, who asks, thoughts of the new single by Mr. Worldwide featuring Dolly Parton? I didn't know Mr. Worldwide.
I had not seen that yet, but I can't wait to.
Last thing I saw Mr. Worldwide was, I don't know if you guys saw this, like, it was like a couple weeks ago. There was like a big Jimmy Buffett tribute concert in the Hollywood Bowl. And the very end, they sang Margaritaville. There was like every guest at the Hollywood Bowl was up on stage. So it was the wildest panorama of like, here's Paul McCartney. Here's like Jane Fonda. Will Arnett's up there. And at the very end, Pitbull's on the stage.
Heck yeah, he is.
And it reminded me of like the Gal Gadot. It's all the celebrities sing was it Tomorrow or Imagine by the Beatles, right, during COVID? Do, do,
do. Yeah.
But no, I have to go see this Pitbull Sings with Dolly Parton song. That sounds hilarious.
I know that the Post Malone Taylor Swift song was kind of fine.
It was, so there's some stuff about that. That song is very emblematic of a very particular thing. I will say the Taylor Swift Florence the Machine song is one of the best songs on the album.
Yeah.
Oh, well, link that to me. I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, I'll send you that.
Also, how did we not notice? I just want to just accidentally glance at a sidebar on MTG Goldfish. Soul Flayer got 22nd place on one of these challenges.
Hell yeah, do it.
Playing Gold Vein Hydra.
Oh, okay.
Vigilance Trample Haste.
Smuggler's Surprise.
Oh, all right.
Well, that's prize. That's for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. Moving on.
Moving on.
Yeah. I just want to say that Pioneer looks super awesome. I think I said it a bunch, but golly, man, what a great time to be playing, you know?
And hey, you know what? If you can't support us on Patreon, again, shout out to the Patreon. That do help support us every month. If you're just looking to buy new cards and buy in or upgrade your Pioneer decks for this RCQ season, make sure you head over to crew3mtg.com, which will redirect you nicely to our affiliate page, TCG Player. Let them know we sent you. And if you complete any purchase using that code, if you use that link, we do get a nice little kickback to your player as a thank you for sending you their way. So be sure to use that as you buy all your new Pioneer cards this season and do all that kind of fun stuff. That will do it this week's episode. Gentlemen, where can they find you on the socials?
Hey, you can find me on the tweeters at @its_Christmas and Christmas has no T.
But you, Ricky?
You can find me on Twitter at also Steve. I'm tweeting every day about all sorts of stuff. People help me with my commander deck today.
Ooh, nice. And you can, of course, find me at Crew3 Podcast tweeting about all kinds of stuff going on. I just posted some pictures of this new Pac-Man Lego set I put together last night. Cracking some collector boosters, doing all sorts of fun stuff. So be sure to go check that out. And, of course, you can find me us over at youtube.com/crew3mtg and twitch.tv/crew3mtg. The next few weeks, I think I've talked about this before, but I might be doing some streams where I just kind of hang out and stream me rebuilding our C3W roster in WWE 2K24. So we can do some bigger and better C3W streams this year.
That should be fun.
So probably if when I work on that, I'll be hanging out on Twitch. And so be sure to stop on by if you see me streaming that. We will talk to you all next week. Good luck at your RCQs, everyone. Bye.
Bye.